this 11th chapter of Hebrews each week. It seems like the more I do that, the more I'm humbled and awed. And here's the reason why. I think it's because it's so easy to Monday morning quarterback life. It's so easy to look back on things, and particularly things that other people have done. Well, I would have. And why didn't they? It's so easy to think and talk big in our minds. And in my mind, I've been incredibly bold and courageous in my mind. I've had some incredible thoughts. I've thought about things that I would say and do in my mind. In my real life experience, sometimes it's different. Because I haven't always said or done the great things that were flowing around in my mind. I wasn't as bold as I was in my mind. It's so easy to have those things go on, and I'd do this and I'd say that when you're in the comfort of your own space. It's when you're standing face to face with a real person, or you're in the middle of an experience, that reality comes out and things actually play out. Because I know those times, I reflect back on those times, I should have said this, I should have spoken up, I should have reflected something more about my faith, or whatever it is. I've got a lot of those times. And I think that's why I'm so awed and humbled in this particular chapter, more so than any other chapter in Scripture, because it just kind of brings it all together. Living examples of people who actually did something very bold in their life. Things that they said, things that they did. And that particularly today's people especially made some incredibly bold choices. Sometimes Hebrews 11 has been referred to as, you know, the hall of fame of the faithful. And we've seen these people over and over, and it says, by faith. As a matter of fact, that phrase, by faith, is repeated 22 times in this particular chapter. And again, it's not a blind faith that these people are expressing. It's an objective faith, an objective trust. It's faith in something. It's trust in something. It's in God. It's in Christ. It's in the promises of Scripture. Because why? Because over and over and over and over, God has shown himself worthy of our trust. It's faith in. So let's look at some bold choices that were made and acted on. A number of different pieces we're going to look at here. First one, in Hebrews 11, 23, it says, by faith, and that refers to Moses' parents. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born, because they saw he was no ordinary child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. So what does the writer here do? He begins by taking his readers back to the opening of the book of Exodus and recounts the cruel command of Pharaoh to kill all of the male Hebrew children at birth. And Amram and Jochebed decide one day they're going to get married. And God blessed them with a son. And now that they have this son, they face the possibility of losing this child. And you can only imagine the anxiety must have been a part of those days when they tried to keep that baby quiet and a secret. All it says here is they know there's something special about this child. And they trusted that God would somehow protect him. And it says they acted boldly in faith. And they defied the king's command. And so, unafraid of the king and his men, they decided to hide Moses for 3 months in a basket among the reeds along the shore of the Nile River. God protects Moses. If we go back to the actual story itself in Exodus chapter 2, I want to read just kind of how this plays out. It says, "And Pharaoh's daughter went down, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward." Moses was raised in royalty. He was educated in all the wisdom of Pharaoh's court. But Moses put his faith in the Israel's God and severed his ties with Pharaoh's daughter. He refused to be recognized as an Egyptian prince, for he himself knew who he was. He saw himself and knew himself to be a descendant of Abraham, a son of the covenant that God made with his people. And he identified with the oppressed Hebrew slaves. And the author of Hebrews writes that Moses, by faith, it says, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. But what a prestigious title he had. Very prestigious. And it came with power and privilege. So to break the tie and align with and identify with the Hebrews called for absolute bold faith and courage. It says he deliberately associated with the people of God. Moses' training would have enabled him to be a leader of a nation. He regarded himself, though, as God's appointed deliverer of Israel. If he were to side with Egypt, he would have turned away from the living God. Should he side? Moses chose mistreatment and identified himself with God's people. As it says, Moses regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt. And it tells us why. It says Moses was able to see beyond. Moses was looking ahead. He knew the promises of God and where God was heading with his people. The Apostle Paul writes, "So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." I think this is a good place to stop and think and reflect about where all this started for Moses. Because the writer chooses things that underscore Moses' faith. The act of faith exercised by Moses' parents. Because among the heroes of faith stand Amram and Jochebed, the father and mother of Moses. They put their full and complete confidence in God when they married, when they had children, and when hiding the infant Moses. And boldly, this is what they said. They said, "Hey, you cannot and you will not take our child." That speaks to us who are parents. See, the Bible says that Satan's desire is to lead the whole world astray. And Jesus said, speaking of Satan, that the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. He identifies the devil as the father of lies. So parents, we can work to protect our children from the constant attack of evil and the lies in our society. Parents, it's true. Satan prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. He's seeking to destroy our children. in our families. And parents, we can resist the devil by standing firm in our faith. We can make our faith a priority because of how it will affect the other people in our household. Parents, we can work to build strong spiritual homes, which can be a safe place where children can learn what it means to fear and love the Lord. Parents, with our children, we can faithfully attend worship. Parents, we can provide opportunities for our children to get a Christian worldview of things. Parents, we can pray for our children. And you know what? When I say parents, it doesn't matter how old you are or how old your children are, because we all need it. See, Pharaoh wanted to take the lives of all the Hebrew male babies in Egypt. And the thing is, the world and its culture that stands against Christ, it wants your kids. And so it's almost like time for us to be bold and say, no. No, you're not going to have my kids. And in our boldness of faith, we can do what we can to protect them, spiritually speaking. Moses must have caught something in his home, even though he was there only, you know, in those earlier days. But something happened to him. And it says Moses deliberately sought identity with these Hebrew slaves because he believed that God would set his people free and fulfill his promises. The story continues. By faith he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who was invisible. And so by faith he kept the Passover and the application of blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. By faith he left Egypt, and by faith the people followed. You see, Moses' refusal to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, his choice was to identify with the people of God. His decision to endure disgrace rather than enjoy the royal treasures. He was also subject to the secular world of his day. But you see, times change, customs and circumstances may change and differ maybe in some forms from what Moses experienced in his day. But one thing is the same, and those are the spiritual choices and decisions that we make. People today, young and old, must make the same choice Moses made in Egypt. And we help also the people around us to see and understand and make those choices as well. And then the account of the Passover, and then the crossing of the Red Sea. It says, by faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land. But when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. The contrast, the people who looked to God, who believed his promises that he was with them, and those who didn't. They passed through the Red Sea. And now what the writer does here is he jumps ahead 40 years into the future. And he says, now, by faith the walls of Jericho fell after the army had marched around them for 7 days. And by faith the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. Now they're under the leadership of a new person. Now they're following Joshua. They, in faith, walked around the walls of Jericho, but ultimately it wasn't just Jericho, it was beyond Jericho to the promised land. And then in this story, we're introduced to a new person who, by faith, acted boldly. And within the walls of Jericho, there's this one person who also saw by faith. It says, by faith the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. Her faith triumphed. She believed in Israel's God. All the things she had heard, all the things that she had experienced and come to know, she confessed the faith. And so by God's amazing grace, this woman with the past of questionable profession and Gentile background had come to know and trust the God of Israel. By faith, she risked her own life and ended up saving it. It says Joshua spared the life of Rahab and her family. He put them in a safe place. It says Rahab was welcomed by the Israelites. But the beautiful thing is, you continue to follow the story, she would later marry a man by the name of Salmon and became the mother of Boaz, who was the great-grandfather of David, who would be the king in Israel, and through whom and from whom one day would come the Messiah, Jesus the Christ. Rahab, you can find her listed in the genealogy of Jesus. Bold faith. Stories over and over and over that confirm God's faithfulness. And as you hear those stories over and over and over, it leads to bold action. God's faithful. He shows it over and over and over through how he worked. Next week, we finish this series, Faith Walk. And the last part, personally, it's my favorite part. Some incredibly powerful testimonies. And as you read through that, you say, wow. You can't come away without saying, wow, as you look at what these people endured and what these people did, at the faith and the strength that God gave them and the courage that he gave them. But it's perfect for next week, because next Sunday is Palm Sunday. Because that day reflects the boldest action ever taken in history. And that bold action was taken when Jesus intentionally chose to get on a donkey and ride into Jerusalem, knowing 100% what was going to happen to him at the end of the week. But he acted, and he did it, because he was able to look out into the future and know what the benefit would be for you and for all people. That's an incredibly bold thing to do. But he also knew who was behind it and what would be accomplished. Good news for all of us. The more of those stories we hear, it gives us the courage and the boldness to be those people and stand up and say, yeah, God, I'm following you. May he give us the strength to do that today and this week.